This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Democratic U.S. Senator Kay Hagan faces an ever-expanding field of GOP contenders, and now she'll have a competitor in the Democratic primary as well. And the rumor mill continues to churn about American Idol running for office. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us now to talk about these races and other political issues in North Carolina. Welcome back, Ken.
Hi, Frank. We're not going to talk about Justin Bieber.
Well, we can if you want, if you have a couple minutes left.
Did you know that Andrea Mitchell of MSNBC was interviewing Jane Harman, the former congresswoman who was in Switzerland, and she interrupted her because Justin Bieber was arrested? I'm sorry, congresswoman, we have to go now because we have important news about Justin Bieber. So I figured we might as well take up the slack and continue to talk about it.
And the font underneath read breaking eggs instead of breaking news. Who knew?
And I think right under that it said, shoot me now.
Hey, Ken, I'm looking at your list of top 10 Senate races to follow. I'm going down here and that Kentucky, Mississippi, Oklahoma. No North Carolina between Mississippi.
You know, something I thought of that. This is, of course, primaries, and most of them involve Republican incumbents. There is a big Republican primary in North Carolina to take on Kay Hagan, obviously, and Tom Tillis is the ostensible front runner, and there is Tea Party opposition. It probably would have made number 11 on the list, and I did think about that because, after all, I'm going to be on your show today. it's obviously one to watch. I think it's more of a thing to certainly a race to watch in November, less so in the May primary.
Well, a recent poll shows Tom Tillis gaining an edge over the Republican field in the primary. And when you look at Kay Hagan against all of her potential challengers, she's a point or two behind all of them, right?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, somehow I think that's part of what President Obama is going to address Tuesday in the State of the Union address. And the fact is, yeah, he's not going to come up with new proposals, but he's going to have to somehow come up with a coherent defense of the Affordable Care Act so he can make Democrats comfortable about making that case in November. Obviously, Kay Hagan, one of the more vulnerable Democrats in 2014 in the Senate, and she's been, you know, raked over the coals over her comment, you know, heard over and over and over again that if you like your insurance company, your insurance plan, you can keep your insurance plan. And now many Democrats saying, oh, why did they say that? Because it may not be the case.
And what about Tillis's chances seen as a mainstream Republican candidate, House Speaker? He does face Tea Party opposition. Newt Gingrich tweeted his support. Well, does he have it locked down? What does it look like for Tillis?
Well, no, nothing has locked up. I mean, look at some of the Republicans who are being faced with primaries in 2014, the Senate incumbents. Like Mitch McConnell, like John Cornyn, like Pat Roberts of Kansas, I mean, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. These are conservative Republicans who the Tea Party says is not sufficiently conservative. So look, Tom Tillis, being the big deal in the state legislature, and given what the legislature has done since the Republicans took it over in 2010, and to say he's not conservative enough or he's mainstream or moderate, well, then either one, it shows where the Republican Party has gone in the last couple of years. But look, you know, stranger things have happened. He could be upended, but he certainly has a lot of money. He certainly has a lot of establishment support. But, you know, established support may not be the best thing to have if you're a Republican running in the contested primary.
Well, speaking of what this legislature has done, a federal judge struck down one of the abortion laws passed by the legislature. It would have required women to look at ultrasounds and listen to fetal heartbeats. What does that mean for the conservative politicians in this state who supported that measure?
Well, you know, it's one of the anti-abortion groups around the country, the pro-life groups around the country are making the case that, look, we're not going to stop abortion, but at least we can make it as difficult and emotionally painful as possible. And so, of course, they wanted to have, you know, make the woman have this ultrasound and then make the woman watch the video. This is a battle going around the country between conservative lawmakers and state legislatures, and there are other states that have it, Louisiana, Texas, Wisconsin, or other states that have it, and the federal courts who say, this is an intrusion on free speech, and it's more about ideology than anything else, so that battle continues.
So I wonder, as somebody who really studies the political scene, a court ruling like this, does this keep the whole issue fresh in the minds of voters? In other words, does it really help conservatives to have this in order to go back to voters and say, see, we got to do something about these judges, or does it look like a victory for liberals? How does it play out going forward politically?
Well, that's a good question, because it seems like every kind of conversation that Republicans are having lately about women and reproductive rights and things like that it just seems to, every headline seems to make it worse for the Republicans. I mean, yes, you know, there's a strong, you can make a strong religious and moral argument against abortion, but again, when the Democrats say that that Republicans are just out to stop women or anti-women, and then you have a comment by Mike Huckabee at the Republican National Committee meeting this week where he talked about women's libido and birth control, why in God's name, and I use that in quotes, are the Republicans still talking about women's reproductive rights? You can make the argument one way or the other about whether abortion is right, whether this is right, whether this is bad, but it just seems like the more Republicans talk about it, the more it just gives a sign to Republican women or to women saying that this is a party that, you know, may be battling your freedoms down the line.
The president has a State of the Union address coming up in a few days. What are going to be the highlights, do you think?
Well, in addition to defending the Affordable Care Act, and which is going to be a tough call because of course, you know, the polls don't show us. You know, he was talking about extending. There are some things that the Democrats have in their favor. Raising the minimum wage, which is important to President Obama. Extending unemployment insurance benefits, which expired in December. The polls show that the American people are strongly behind these kind of things. Expanding pre-kindergarten, pre-K schools and stuff like that. But they're also, the Republicans are also pointing out that the Democrats have a president whose numbers are mired in the low 40s. And so we talk about the bully pulpit and how the State of the Union can jumpstart the president. Well, it's going to be hard to make the case because the president has been making a lot of speeches for a long time. And even when his popularity was strong earlier in the year or the year before, you know, you had this heartbreak, this inconceivable heartbreak of the shooting of children in Connecticut. And so the president goes before the American people and said, look, we have to change the gun laws. We have to have, you know, voter background checks, you know, gun buyer background checks. And nothing happens in Congress. So, you know, you could give a great speech. You can, you know, give all the floor, you know, the great touches that President Obama does so well. But ultimately, we could wake up, you know, on Wednesday morning and say, well, did it make a difference? And that's the big question.
Going to be two rebuttals again, one from the Republican Party and one from the Tea Party. Tell us about that, Ken.
Well, that's gone on the last two or three years, and this just shows what's you know, every time the Republicans think they have the Democrats and President Obama on the ropes, they also know that they have a Tea Party, you know, Tea Party making its own a case against the president. And of course, when you have a third party, a third candidate, a third speech following the State of the Union, you know, the Republican message can get muddled. It's interesting, or probably not surprising, that the Republican response is Kathy McMorris Rodgers. She's a congresswoman from Washington State. And I stress the word woman in there because, again, when you have the comments from Mike Huckabee, and we all remember what Todd Akin said from Missouri, you know, in the last campaign, Republicans just want to have, you know, say, look, to women, say, look, you know, we support you. We support your goals and your aspirations. And it's also about the economy. And Kathy McMorris Rodgers is probably the best person to do that.
Let's talk about state politics again. Virginia's Attorney General Mark Herring announced that he is not going to defend Virginia's ban against same-sex marriage. And here in North Carolina, Democrat Roy Cooper, rumored to be a possible candidate for governor, has said just the opposite, that he can, in fact, defend laws with which he disagrees. Are we seeing a split here, Ken?
Well, you are, and it's interesting, you know, for years, the Democrats were complaining about Ken Cuccinelli, the Republican Attorney General in Virginia, who was basically using his own politics to advance goals. And so, you know, he was very, very conservative, more conservative than the electorate. And here you have Mark Herring of Virginia, who was just elected in November by the barest of margins. And he's saying, look, I know the voters supported this anti-same-sex marriage bill, but I'm not going to support it. I'm not going to defend it at all. And, you know, you talk about activist attorney generals. Well, you can make the case that not only can Republican conservatives be activist attorneys general, but the Democrats can as well.
So we're talking about the Senate race with Kay Hagan and the number of challengers she faces. In a House race, Renee Elmers also faces a primary challenge, and if she gets through that, she might actually face this guy.
Solitaire!
Yeah, what do you think, Ken?
Was it Carl Castle?
Is it...
No, I'm sorry. Clay Aiken. Well, you know something. I mean, there's a lot of tension on Clay Aiken. And look, he's a national spokesman for children and UNICEF and things like that. And, of course, he finished second in the American Idol, and everybody knows who he is. Probably could make a lot of money. But let's be honest, the congressional district that Renee Elmers represents, that she won in 2010, has been made much more Republican, much more conservative with the redistricting in 2012. Clay Aiken is a great story. He's a national figure. Ultimately, I think the real story is going to be watching what happens in the Republican primary and see how strong the Tea Party opposition to Renee Elmers is.
Plus, based on that clip, he could be accused of running a one-note campaign, don't you think?
Oh, boy.
Sorry, Ken.
I didn't say that one.
Ken Rudin, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Frank.
Ken Rudin's the political junkie. He joins us regularly on The State of Things. You can find out more at his website, kenrudinpolitics.com. Just ahead, the challenges of legal representation for those who can't afford attorneys. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.